welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know, this show has been tremendously unlucky over the years when it comes to timing. But I got to say, like, you know, when Jay told me that he was moving down to Mexico and we were going to be off for a couple of weeks, I was like, oh, my God, we're surely going to miss just incredibly huge news left and right. And as it turns out, nothing's really happened over the last 3 weeks. That I can think of, at least.
Yeah,
certainly nothing monumental or history-making or unprecedented or, you know, anything of that nature.
Look, man, we are unlucky in love. What can I tell you? It is really funny. Things that are not on the docket that I think people should know about, like there was a coup in Russia.
There was.
And it didn't work out, unfortunately.
No, and somehow the guy that that orchestrated it is allowed to hang out in Belarus. Yeah. I highly recommend that Evgeny Prigozhin not stand near any windows above like the second floor for like the rest of his life, pretty much.
In fairness, he's not a banking executive. He'll be fine. They pushed that poor lady right out of a window. I mean, she fell out. I mean, it's really weird. Yeah, so that was kind of a crazy story. I wasn't rooting for anyone. I was just rooting for Putin to lose. Like I wasn't. I certainly was not like, well, go Prigozhin. Like that was not my point. I was just like, oh, maybe they'll drag him out into the street and put him in the fucking.
I mean, one could argue, even though the coup is not successful, that Putin is still coming out of this looking like a huge loser, considering that,
yes,
you know, his boy, his PMC, was, you know, rolling tanks about 100 miles away from Moscow.
Yeah, it's a fascinating situation. It does ultimately, I don't want to get too far into this, but it does ultimately leave him vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. That given that Prigozhin could do this and could like really go at, like, I don't know if he would have ultimately won. The fact that the military like refused to fire on them says something. Mm-hmm. Like it should ring very loudly to Putin that like you might not have as much control over these guys as you think you do. So it doesn't have to be Prigozhin who wins the day. Clearly he won't. But it probably does give somebody else who maybe is a little bit more vicious to go, okay, I'll see how things play out and see what I can do, because it does show that he's vulnerable and that the people in the military don't support him as tightly as you would have thought. Like, because by what we thought, at least previously to the Ukraine situation, if Putin said, hey, man, military, you know, dear Russian military, I need you to protect me at all costs, kill whoever, they were, from our perspective, they were going to do it. Now, post-Ukraine or during the Ukraine war, people are like, I don't have to listen to you. Like,
yeah, but say, I've never seen, I'm sure it's happened, and I'm probably just not thinking of a good example, but I've never seen, or I can't recall, a leader voluntarily like putting themselves into a war that they now can't back out of, because to do so would basically be for him to like give up the ghost. I feel like at this point, like, he can't stand down, right? But at the same time,
that's
like,
the problem.
What's this gonna look like in 18 months, like when he keeps putting his troops through a meat grinder and Ukraine's like,
okay,
we're cool.
You're not sending anybody who is capable of fighting us.
They're not sending their best.
They are in fact not. They're not. So it is a weird and odd situation. But yeah, I do think people should pay attention to that and know that this is not going to be the end all be all of that. Because if they think that Putin is vulnerable, someone will come for him. Like, they're not just going to let it slide. That's not how the history of Russia has ever worked. And it certainly is not the way it works when you have people like him involved. So
there you go. That's our foreign policy coverage for this week's episode.
Yeah. Done and done. Done and dusted. You're welcome, everyone. So let's get into the rest of the craziness locally inside the United States. Look, I'll just give you a heads up. If you normally watch us on video or looking for like clips of the show, they're going to be on like TikTok and that kind of stuff from this. You're not going to get those for this week. Perhaps next week. We're on audio only, as I'm in the midst of a move.
You could put a You could put a video version up on YouTube, which is
I don't think so.
Look forward
image. Yeah, no, I don't think so. No, it looks like I'm broadcasting from inside a potato. So, like, no, I'm good. live from a potato. But I'll be on HD tomorrow, which is finally. All right, so let's get into it. Supreme Court. I'm going to start with the semi-positive things.
Well,
it's been
a decision week for the Supreme Court,
yes, because of the course season is over.
Yeah, they're well. I mean, they're ending their term.
It's the season finale. For the year.
Yeah. So all the plot lines are getting wrapped up in this episode this week.
And this stuff is not ending like it's not ending like Ted Lasso. It's not ending well. Okay, the people working on this season really suck. So New York Times reports that the Supreme Court decision in Moore versus Harper, the Supreme Court rejected the most extreme version of the so-called independent state legislature theory. In doing so, the court avoided any immediate and significant disruption of the structure of the federal elections, especially going into 2024.
Yeah, this for those that aren't familiar with the independent state legislature theory, this is some fucking cocked up theory that Republicans in red legislative states, but not quite red all the way across the board states, decided that they're like, you know, the Constitution says that the state legislature and only the state legislature should be able to weigh in and decide on the regulations for federal elections
in this country.
So basically, you know, like, you know, what happened in, this past presidential election, if you are like, I don't know, let's say Michigan, and your state votes for Joe Biden, and the state legislature, if they were Republican, which actually Michigan, they weren't. So this is a bad example, but I'll continue with it, was like, you know what, like, I really think that everyone should be able to vote in the state of Michigan, except for all those black people in Detroit. So let's go ahead and throw their votes out, and just we're going to send a slate of electors that'll just take Donald Trump to be the president, regardless of what our citizens voted for. Exactly. And that's totally cool, and no one can say anything to us about it, even the Supreme Court of our state, because we are the almighty state legislature and we are independent. That was the theory floated in this case.
So to sum that up in a stupider way, the federal elections are meaningless. Yes. Besides the idea of them existing, there is no regulation on, or no semblance of regulation across states, right? You do, if you're in Alabama, you do something totally different. Not talking about like primaries and stuff like that, but like quite literally, we can just eliminate groups. We can just basically these Republicans, and it was only Republicans doing this.
We don't even have to have a vote. We'll just tell you.
Yeah, who we're gonna, right. And like that was quite literally a fear that some people had, and it seems crazy on its face. Like, well, that's not going to happen. But no, that is what could have happened. Is they could have just said, "Oh, Donald Trump needs 11,000 more votes. Well, we can't find 11,000 more votes. We'll just eliminate 11,000 votes for right. Joe Biden, right? Or in a heavy Joe Biden district, right? Through some fucking horseshit." So the idea of this is solely to entrench minority rule for Republicans as their demographics are sliding very quickly over time, right? Thankfully, they did strike this down. I'm shocked, to be honest. I was not so sure that was going to happen. But when that news came out, I was happy to see that.
I'm not shocked that this got struck down, because again, this is one of those things that could easily boomerang on Republicans.
Where, oh, 100%.
SCOTUS, like, to be like, oh, like, yeah, let's totally fucking pass this. I'm actually more shocked that this wasn't one of those, you know, one of the opportunities for the court to be like, no, like, we're not fucking doing this. Three people voted in favor of approving the independent state legislature theory.
That's insane. That's insane.
I mean, you can, I mean, just guess who they were. Like, it's not fucking hard to figure out.
Clarence Thomas, Sam
Alito.
Sam Alito. And what's the nutty?
I think Gorsuch was the other one. I'm not 100%.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Was it Gorsuch? Wow.
I think so. Well, he's the fucking loon that's like, oh, I'm the most originalist that ever originally, you know, on the Supreme Court. Like, that's Neil Gorsuch.
Like, get the fuck out of here. That's insane. That's it. Like, it's just an insane theory, because basically what you're saying is democracy as we know it in the United States doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't. If I, as a voter, can vote, and me and all of my friends who outnumber people who are voting for, let's say me and my friends are all voting for Joe Biden, and there's more of us than there are Trump voters, right? Let's say it's like the state of Maryland Republicans could just be like, that's cool and all, but no. Yeah. We're going to give all of our electoral college votes to Donald Trump because reasons. Like, they don't even have to have a reason. Yeah. They could just basically eliminate the idea that free and fair elections don't exist.
Now the criticism of this, the only criticism, and this is kind of like something you couldn't avoid, is that kind of striking down this theory allows the courts to be the arbiters if there's a dispute in the elections process. And so, like, people are saying, oh, like, well, you know, because of this, you could have another, you know, Bush v. Gore situation where the Supreme Court effectively is deciding,
sure,
you know, the outcome of the election. And I mean, first of all, that's incredibly rare. I feel like that's somewhat unlikely to really happen that way again. Now watch it fucking happen in 2 years and make me eat my words. Yes. But also that's why you shouldn't be surprised that this got struck down, because two of the very people that were on the team that mm-hmm. argued for the Supreme Court to get involved in Bush versus Gore and put the kibosh on things so George Bush could win were Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett.
That is correct. And look, they were rewarded for what they did.
Yes.
That's why they're in the positions they're in. Correct. If you want to really talk about quote unquote conspiracies as to why these people end up on the Supreme Court, that's the reason. Like, you did a good job. This is your attaboy. Thank you. Or attagirl. And, you know, not to get too far off of this topic, but, you know, over the last week or two, it's been revealed that Amy Coney Barrett she's also been linked up with a billionaire. Like, apparently, you just, when you're a conservative, when you get to the court, you get your own billionaire.
You get assigned a billionaire. Yeah, that gets to fly. Sam Alito, of course, to the surprise of nobody, was found out to be taking fishing trips mm-hmm. with billionaire that people that he then ruled. It was like a hedge fund manager who had business before the court six different times that Alito ruled in his favor on the merits each time. And my favorite part is when asked about this, Alito, of course, got indignant because that's what Alito is wont to do. But he said, look, I had to take the seat on the plane because if no one was going to be on the trip, then the seat just would have been empty. It would have gone to waste.
Brazen. Yo, that's just brazen. Stop talking to us like we're idiots. You know, yeah. Like, we've all been on a plane that a seat's been empty. The plane still made it. Like, it was fine. You didn't have to go. It's nonsense.
And honestly, like, you know, it's funny, and we're off on this tangent, and I figured we would talk about it anyway. I almost want there to be like I kind of want like Elena Kagan to be found out to have like an improper relationship with like some rich Democratic donor, just so it can
see
be
what
like
they
a
do.
Bipartisan, just so it can be a bipartisan thing. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, I want to see what they do.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to see what they do, because you know they're going to be like, she needs to be removed. It's like, well, what about the other person? Irrelevant. Irrelevant conversation. And like, it's so weird.
But that's what I'm saying. Like I feel like Kagan needs to take a bullet for the court and just like fucking just take like $2 billion from George Soros or something like that.
Just straight up. Then, like, just a picture just of her holding like, cash.
Just leak it to the news so that Republicans be like, we have to put an ethics code in place with the Supreme Court. Democrats like, yes, we do.
Yeah,
let's
we
do
agree.
It. Let's go.
We agree.
Yeah.
And then you come to find out it was just like, it was a suitcase of Monopoly money. Boom. Nailed it. But it's just, it is so ridiculous. And look, I actually agree with you to some extent. It would be nice if one of the liberal judges were corrupt. So you would just be like, this is a Supreme Court issue, but it's always thing. This is always a conservative issue. So they just don't listen. Like they refuse to listen because they just think we're beating up on them. It's not we're beating up on you. You're just corrupt. It's
that's what happens when you create a literal pipeline.
Yes.
To get these people on the Supreme Court that is completely backed by mega donors. Like it's inevitable that this shit's going to happen.
Yeah,
of course. And one could argue it's a feature, not a bug.
100% is a feature. It's 100% a feature. The fact that they get assigned a billionaire when they start their new job is insanity to me. And you could be like, oh, no, you're being unfair. No, dude, but like quite literally, that's what's happening.
Is that like the Federalist Society, like Big Brother program? Like,
yeah, just to check on you, make sure you're doing okay, right? Well, you're new in town. So since you're new in town, we got to take care of you. Like, what are you going to starve? Man, we got to take you to these, like, you know, the $10,000 dinner. We don't want, you know, we're looking out for you.
You get assigned a billionaire. You get a stipend at Brooks Brothers. Like, there's a whole lot of perks that come with being a federal society plant.
It's hard, man. Life is hard out there. Like, it's hard to be, what's the word? Right. A justice. Like, you're literally trying to be, you're in the business of being fair. And they're just like, how many fishing trips can I take on the sly? Like, it's amazing.
My favorite part of it is just like when confronted with this stuff, like they just get so fucking angry. Like, how dare you question my impropriety just because there's all
quite easily
smoking gun evidence. Like, how dare you? I'm the justice on the highest court in the land. Of course I should be considered, you know, there's no way I could be unfair and biased because I'm not a human. I'm some judiciary cyborg that is incapable of human urges.
I love it. Like, it's so unbelievably ridiculous how easily they're being caught. And like, dude, who the fuck is allowing these people to report on us?
I can't wait until Congress, because I do feel like that there could be some bipartisan support for this. I don't know if it's enough to actually pass anything of note, but I do feel there could be some bipartisan support for this. And like, just hearing the justices like fucking get in their feelings about this, like, I can't believe that they're using checks and balances against us, one of the three pillars of the United States federal government.
We didn't sign up for this shit.
How dare they?
I signed up for a lifetime appointment of getting this money and going on trips. Fuck you, Congress. Like, how dare you? But it's just unbelievable. It really is. So the independent state legislature theory luckily gets knocked down. A sort of lesser version of that did get sort of tacitly acknowledged as being okay, which is not good, but at least it's not this for the time being. But I think with anytime the Supreme Court does anything that we deem is in our favor, look for a backhanded situation coming from that in about a year. That's just kind of how they do.
I will say, not on the docket before you start to get to like the not so good stuff. The court did also unanimously knock down Alabama's extremely gerrymandered map. That took away having a second district that really should be represented by a black representative. Which that was a little shocking too, that even like the most conservative justices were like, yeah, dude, you guys went too far.
Like, bro, come on, knock it off. I mean, like, screw them a different way. Like, that's all it is. It's just like, just screw them a different way. Like, come on, man, don't make it so obvious. Jeez, like, we're trying to run a grift here. Like, pay attention. Pay attention. That's how bad they can be. All right, so let's talk about affirmative action. Supreme Court. Yeah. It's the only reason Brad's on the show.
That's right.
The Supreme Court destroys affirmative action, thus keeping white supremacy around. So here's the deal. The Supreme Court, the season ender, Supreme Court decides, hey, man, it's really offensive to rich white kids that they don't get all of the seats at Harvard, and that they have to give up six seats to you brown kids from not rich high schools. And they're furious. Like, these people are absolutely furious about it. This was, of course, spearheaded by this, I forget the guy's name. He's sort of a known douchebag who's been sort of anti affirmative action laws for years. He's been trying to strike this shit down for a long time. So this guy's like, look, let's just go ahead and ruin this, right? So Supreme Court on Thursday struck down race-conscious admissions programs at Harvard University and the University of North Carolina, effectively prohibiting affirmative action policies long used to raise the number of Black, Hispanic, and other underrepresented minority students on American campuses. I'll let you give your thoughts on this, and then I'm gonna try my best not to get real mad.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna step on the pathway that you're gonna take on this. I think so. This is one of the reasons why it's really cool that we have Ketanji Brown Jackson on the court, because like Kagan and Sotomayor and Ginsburg when she was there and Breyer, when they kind of lipped back to like the conservatives and they kind of snarked at them, they did it in such a way that they really like took a very roundabout way to do it in their dissents. And Ketanji Brown Jackson is much more direct about that stuff.
Yeah,
she calls it for, she calls it like she sees it, and just really just undermines the fact that like, no, like you guys say all this shit, but you're actually you're full of it. Like you guys claim to be originalists, but you don't actually look to at the context to in which these laws were passed and these amendments were passed.
Right.
And to the point, like, and she's made this point before, and she made this point in arguments about this case, is that you can't go there, you can't sit there and say, oh, the 14th Amendment is a non-racial amendment, when it was literally written during Reconstruction America after the Civil War. Like its existence is directly tied to the freeing of Black folks in this country.
Yeah. So to make them citizens.
Right.
To make them fucking citizens. It's insane.
So you can't be like, oh, like we must look at the original text and then just like shut your eyes and ears to the context in which that text was written. Like that's asinine.
Right.
And she also made a great point. Such a good point it was, is that the majority was even forced to kind of concede this in their opinion. While these schools can't have programs, you know, dictated on race, to kind of have quotas, I guess you could say,
right.
But students can still talk about their race experiences, like in their admissions essays. Because to her point, she's like, so wait, so if you're fifth generation UNC, you're allowed to talk about why, you know, how you're fifth generation UFC. But if you're Black, you're not allowed to talk about why it's impossible for you to have been fifth generation UFC. Like, that doesn't fucking make any sense. And even the majority people who are trying to strike this shit down had no retort for that. Right. And Roberts was forced to put it in the opinion. So it's absolutely fucking insane to me that this is the tack that Republicans are taking. Like, it's very obvious that it exists just to strike down affirmative action. Like that is literally the only purpose of these decisions and of targeting these cases specifically is not at all to make things more fair. It's literally to find a silver bullet to fire away at affirmative action. That's the only reason they're doing 100%. It. And again, she called it like it is.
Yeah. Look, I 100% agree with what you're saying. I feel like I shouldn't, only because you're the only white guy I'm talking to right now. So I feel like I should be beating you up. No, but in all seriousness, like it's what is irritating to me is a fundamental misunderstanding of what affirmative action is. Mm-hmm. Now, I am smart enough to understand that the people on the Supreme Court understand what affirmative action is. And I don't think they are obtuse about its meaning at all or its benefit whatsoever. I think they like to pretend. I think people on the internet, when I see conservatives cheering this, I'm not sure that they really understand it, Or they're pretending to be stupid. It's equally possible, right? But what irritates the shit out of me is the fundamental misunderstanding of it. And so I will explain at least my thoughts on why we're here, or not why we're here, but like how affirmative action really works, because I think people have a really bizarre view of how it works, right? Mm-hmm. I've even heard liberals on certain shows say, well, you know, this probably should end. We're past that now. Everything is even, which is an unbelievably ridiculous thing to say. I just can't believe a person who calls himself a liberal would say that out loud. Like, what planet do you fucking live on? Right. It's bizarre. So that all being said, there is a massive misconception that affirmative action equals, hey, you minority, you get to go to Harvard. And then you get to go and they just keep you there and you get a degree and then you just go live your life. Mm-hmm. But that's not how affirmative action actually works, right? If you're talking about racial affirmative action, right? Because they're talking about this is race conscious affirmative action. Well, one, before I get into how it actually works, just keep in mind that the number one group who benefited from affirmative action since its inception are women. That is an inarguable fact. Like, it is. The reason white women flooded the marketplace as far as the work marketplace and white women's education or, you know, college acceptance rates are insanely high. And I don't mean insanely as a bad thing, right? The reason that is because of affirmative action. They would not be there. They would not be considered for those jobs. They would not be considered for those colleges if white men had their hands in it. Because I know that because when they did, they weren't allowed to be there, right? Like, I mean, come on, like, let's get real. So, but this misconception that they just pluck some brown kid out of the ghetto and they're just like, you get to go, right? Like to Harvard. The problem is when you talk about affirmative action like that, what you are missing is a very big, big part, which is these are kids who are qualified to go to the school. When you apply to schools like Yale and Harvard, I have family members who've gone to these schools. I have family members who are likely, their kids are likely to go, right? They're not going, those kids are not going on a legacy, right? We'll talk, and we will fucking talk about that, right? But when you get selected for those schools or when you apply to those schools, the problem is if you are applying from a place like Baltimore, or the heart of Detroit, or bumfuck town in the Midwest, as a white kid, even as a white kid, you're not seen on the level of a kid who went to some fancy pants high school in Massachusetts, some fancy pants high school in Los Angeles, some fancy pants high school in Texas, right? You're not seen on that level, even though your grades may be as good, if not better than theirs. You're simply not seen. Joy Ann Reid from MSNBC is a Harvard graduate. She is an affirmative action student. She talked about it. She's like, they recruited her because she was a nerdy, super smart kid from some tiny ass little place outside of Denver, right? This little black town outside of Denver, Colorado. And they were just like, hey, your grades are fucking excellent and you're really smart. And so they went and they were like, come meet with us and we're going to bring you to Harvard, right? She said her entire time growing up, she was never questioned about her intelligence or her academics because she was a straight A fucking super student until she got to Harvard, where white kids were like, what are you doing here? You don't deserve to be here. You just got an affirmative action hire or you know, an affirmative action student. But they're not brought in just because they're brown. They're brought in because they're brown and they deserve to be there. The "and deserve to be there" is the part white people just miss on purpose. It's like, dude, they're not picking dumb fucking kids and bringing them to Harvard. It's still Harvard. They still want smart kids. They still have a reputation to maintain. You know, this is the same argument that I see white conservatives making now, and like is the same thing that Donald Trump did with Barack Obama. I want to see your birth certificate, right? And it was like, That's fucking dumb. Fine. Here's the birth certificate. Well, what about his grades? Remember, that was the second part. People don't remember that. They want to see his grades, even though his grades are private and you can't just request publicly someone's fucking grades. But, oh, well, how did he get into Harvard? He got into Harvard because he was fucking smart. Mm-hmm. They didn't let him into Harvard just because his face was brown. Trust me, there's not that many brown kids at Harvard. Right. Like, they're not doing that. Then he gets head of the Harvard Law Review. What do you think they did? They just picked him because he was black? No. So just like, I had to look this up because I was pretty sure of how the process worked, but I had to look it up, right? To become head of the Harvard Law Review, they have like 14 or 20 students who are on the Harvard Law Review, and they pick, or it's more than that, but like 14 like students who choose, right? Since the 70s, they don't weigh academics as the only reason that you can get picked as the president or the head of the Harvard Law Review, right? They had instituted, it's not that it doesn't count, it's just not the number one thing. Probably because it's like, you're at Harvard, they're all probably doing well. This doesn't, if everybody's getting great grades, like, who the fuck cares, right? So they instituted something where you have to write an article critiquing a Supreme Court justice ruling or an appellate court justice ruling that year, right? It's anonymous. So you don't know who wrote what. Barack Obama, you can literally look this fucking up because I did. You can look it up. In 1990, the New York Times wrote an article about the first black head of the Harvard Law Review, Barack Obama, at 28 years old. He got it because he was fucking smart, not because he was brown. He just happened to be brown and be intelligent. Ketanji Brown Jackson was on the Harvard Law Review. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Breyer. Elaine Kagan. Ted Cruz. Like, there's a lot of people. Merrick Garland was on the Harvard Law Review, right? But only one person who's ever been on the Harvard Law Review was president of the United States. So it's not the idea, this ridiculous idea that they pick these people because of how they look. They pick them for how they look because they know that America's fucking rigged, and those smart kids who happen to look a certain way or are from a certain place don't get a chance. It doesn't mean they're not smart enough. And that's the problem, is when people talk about affirmative action, they just think they pick a bunch of dumb brown kids and go, you get to be with all the smart white kids. It's not how the fuck it works. And it's also all the dumbest white kids saying this shit. Like, you couldn't lick Barack Obama's shoes, let alone be as smart as him.
Well, and let me also say, like, Harvard is not Towson or Morgan State or Salisbury University. Like, it's not like a locally based university. Like, Harvard is a national university. Like it is a destination university. And I would think if I was Harvard, it would be a benefit to have the demographic makeup of my student body mirror the demographic makeup of the country as a whole. And also have people, you know, coming from overseas and things like that as well.
Of course, it makes you better.
Right. So it's in their interest to make sure that, yeah, we're taking some black folks. But again, to your point, qualified. Like, you're not taking a C student just to fill your quota if you're Harvard. Like, that's not what's fucking.
It doesn't make sense, yo. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's wild, right? Like, they struck this down. They're like, all right. No more racially conscious, affirmative action hires. Like, we gotta knock this shit off. Except when it comes to military institutions, you're allowed to do it there. I'm not sure there is a better read of how the United States Supreme Court sees people of color than to say, oh, we can get enough of those people in here to go fight and die for us. Black people and Latin people are really good at the military. Come on in to VMI or fucking West Point. You can do that shit. You can take orders and go take that hill and get yourself shot in the fucking head. That's fine. But do you want to better your community? Do you want to better yourself and build up you take that information, take that knowledge back to your community and build that community up and make the next Rhodes Scholar and make the next Harvard Law, head of the Harvard Law Review, and the next, you know, more legacy students who look like you and all of that. No, no, no. Absolutely not. But you can take that fucking hill in the middle of fucking Afghanistan if you want. That's what we fucking support. And there is nothing that's more obvious that they don't give a fuck about the future of black and brown kids than to say, yeah, you can fight and die by going to VMI or West Point or any of those. You can go as high as you want in the military. But academics? Absolutely not. And that's not shitting on the military. It's just the fact that black and brown kids are disproportionately joining the military because it's a way to get out from where they are. And they know that. So they give them a chance to do that, but they won't give them a chance to make it to fucking Massachusetts to better themselves from an education perspective. Yeah, go fuck yourselves. You know? Like that shit is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I would have rather they just ban it across the board. But to add the military exception really shows they just don't fundamentally give a flying fuck about black and brown kids. They don't. And somehow white people have convinced Asian people that black people and brown Latin kids are the reason you're not getting into fucking Harvard.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're closer in skin tone, so.
It's fucking insane. But what about Asian kids? 30% of Harvard is Asian. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? 30% of Harvard is legacy fucking students. Legacy admissions. A bunch of rich dickbag kids going, my grandfather gave $1 million for that library. I should go here. They're not smart. They're not intelligent. They're not as smart as the kids who work in their ass off to get there. They're not. But because their grandpa or great-grandfather had enough money to push them forward, or their parents had enough money to push them forward, that's okay. You're concentrating on the 6% of brown kids who deserve to be there. Who deserve to be there. But you're not concentrating on the 30% of kids who are like, hey, bro, I'm so glad my granddad's got a bunch of money. I ain't going to class, still getting a degree. I don't give a fuck. Those kids. George W. Bush is a legacy fucking admission kid. He is. But you're worried about Barack Obama, who's smart enough to be there, but you're not worried about George W. Bush. Get the fuck out of here. That is peak white supremacist fucking mindset. And this room is way too fucking hot for me to be this big. Jesus Christ.
If I didn't know any better, based on the truth of that rant that you just spoke, I'd say that we're not quite past the need for affirmative action yet.
Right. What the fuck, man? Like, that's fucking maddening. It's maddening. Like, nothing pisses me off more than the idea that they have literally tried to convince Asian folks to fight against other minority folks for this shit. What are you talking about,
Jay? I'm just beside myself that you just don't understand that Barack Obama descended from the fucking hilltops of Illinois like Christ and just cured racism in America.
Well, no, according to Republicans now, he cured racism when he was elected, but after he was no longer president, he's the one who started racism. It didn't exist in this country before. I've literally seen Republicans say that. It didn't exist. I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Like, dude, I've been on this planet for 43 years. Pretty sure it existed before I ever heard the name Barack Obama. But hey, man, that's just my own personal experience. Anecdotal evidence at best.
We're not allowed to consider that anymore.
No. All right, let's. God, I would say it's good to be back, but I don't feel like it. I really don't. I don't know that I believe it. So the other Supreme Court season ender here is the Supreme Court was like, hey, man, it's Friday. Why don't we, like, we've been fucking over everybody else, but we haven't kicked folks in the LGBTQ community in the teeth today. So why don't we do that? Let's get back.
They're riding too high on the hog.
Yeah.
During Pride Month, though.
Right. They're like, oh, they've got a month. We'll see about that. Like. Well, let's get it on the 30th. Let's get it in right under the wire. Right. Let's really fuck them over, right? So the Supreme Court limits LGBTQ protections with a ruling in favor of a Christian web designer. So in a 6-3 decision, which was penned by Justice Neil, the originalist Gorsuch, and joined by Justice John Roberts and Justice Sam Alito and Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, and of course Clarence Thomas, those six, and of course, you know, the reasonable ones, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, all were against this. So basically what they said is, hey man, there's a case this web designer put up on her website. Look, I'm not making websites for gay weddings. Fuck out of here. I don't agree with it.
This is my favorite part of this specific case, is that there, it's not like a gay couple came to her and was like, can you design a website for our wedding? Right. No. This case was brought to the court as like a hypothetical, like, what if I have to do a gay wedding page one day? I don't wanna. So we somehow can get this to the Supreme Court. Apparently the thing that they were actually fighting is she wanted to put a statement up on her website saying, I'm not gonna do stuff for same-sex couples. And the state of Colorado has an accommodations law that doesn't allow her to do that. So that was the legal framework. But again, I must stress to you that this web designer was not presented with the opportunity to design a website.
Right. This is purely hypothetical nonsense.
Yes.
All right. So here's the thing. I would, like, before I found out it was a hypothetical situation, I saw that earlier, because I saw somebody's tweet. They were like, wait, the couple doesn't even exist? What the fuck are we talking about? Right. Like, how are you offended? I need people to just flood this woman's inbox with requests and just be like, can you just make a template? Just make a template. and just be like, thanks to this website, and just put like just dudes just getting it on and like just making out in three-piece suits and tuxedos the whole time. But in all seriousness, look, this is ridiculous. And I don't understand how this is okay, right? Because the three dissenting liberal justices, Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Brown Jackson, made the point, which I think is a sound one, which is, if you're allowed to do this, mm-hmm. what would stop you from saying, I don't want to make a website for interracial marriages?
For black people.
For black people, right? Yeah. Or just interracial marriages or whatever fucking thing Republicans are still hung up about from the 1960s and 70s. Right, so there's nothing.
That's inevitable, right? Like someone
absolutely,
is going to
it's
see
inevitable.
This. Someone is going to see this, and in fucking Hicktown, Alabama, and put up a fucking sign on their storefront that says "No blacks allowed." And all of a sudden, we're back in the fucking 40s, my dude.
Right, and so that reminded me of something, right? Mm. Which is a little walk back in history, right? So Katzenbach versus McClung, which was in 1964, was a landmark decision of the United States Supreme Court, which unanimously held that Congress acted within its power under the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution in forbidding racial discrimination in restaurants as they were a burden to interstate commerce, right? So basically how this worked was, this guy ran a restaurant, Ollie's restaurant or whatever, and he was like, listen, no blacks allowed in the restaurant. You can do takeout, like take your food and get the fuck out of here. I'm only letting white people chill in my restaurant and eat, right? And he had like a restaurant right off the highway. And so basically he got an injunction from the government and said, hey man, you can't do that because people traveling from different states got to have a place to eat. And you're fucking with interstate commerce, right? And like he was like buying some of his food from a different state, you know, and stuff like that. So it was, but the larger point here is that it's not okay for you to discriminate against a group on these services. Like it's just not okay. Right. Because this is also, the injunction originally came down from the because of the civil rights Civil Rights Act. I'm not sure how this is any different, because they're talking about the Katzenbach versus McClung case is talking about interstate commerce, right? But how is that any different than sort of the marketplace, like the digital marketplace in 2023? It's no different, right? You don't have to necessarily stop at a restaurant. That's not how the internet works. But if you say you can't buy something online based on who you are as a person, right? Like, you know, minus like you can't buy alcohol online because you're a minor type of shit. But as a living, breathing, legal adult, you can't request a service and not get it like any other American citizen. I don't understand how that's any different. Like, well, I don't understand how that's not a violation of the same Commerce Clause.
Well, really, and again, like, it's not like we're pulling these protections out of thin air. Like, there are literally protected classes in this country for a reason. And
right.
Sexual identity is one of those protected classes. So, and so is race, and so is gender. Like, so, like, it's all fun and game. Like, what, you know, I kind of want, like, a super liberal business to be like, sorry, no Republicans allowed. Won't do business with you here. Because you know, it's not a protected class, your political leanings. I can discriminate on that all I want.
Hey, no MAGA here. You wear a MAGA hat, I don't have to serve you. Fuck off. Like, and they would see that. They're like, we're so discriminated against. What if you just said, hey, man, no white guys. No white guys. Enough is enough. No white guys. Right? I mean, it's maddening to me because there is clear precedent that they're just breaking. It's not like they're not coming up with some like ingenious fucking here's this like slick thing they get around. No, dude, it definitely violates the Commerce Clause. Like, I just don't understand how you, as a Supreme Court originalist, can say like, hey, man, this is fine. I really don't get it.
And they're not like, again, like, they're not stupid people that are doing.
They're
this.
Not
like they are very capable of seeing where this leads down the highway. The difference is they just don't care, or they're happy to have it lead to that point, because then,
yeah,
you know, the next thing can come up in front of them, and that's what's going to be interesting. Because again, I know that on the back of this ruling, within the next couple of years, there is absolutely going to be a new case that goes in front of them. That's due to someone, you know, withholding services because of race. And I can't wait to hear, because I don't think that they would go that route. So I can't wait to hear their justification as to why race is protected, but sexual identity is not.
Well, I mean, I could answer that for you if you'd like.
Sure, go for it.
Ick. it's gross. We don't like those people. We find them gross. Like, that's literally it. That's it. I don't like that idea of two people having sex. I think it's icky. So let's just ban it. Like, that's all it is. Like, it's not based on any reality. It's just not based on any reality. One, I don't want to make a website for a gay wedding. Okay. Who cares? Then stop having that service. Like, if somebody wants to hire you, look, if you said to them, if they hired you and they're like, hey, I want to get gay married, right? Because apparently that's how conservatives think people talk. Look, me and my spouse want to get, me and my fiance want to get gay married. And your bland Squarespace templates are just hitting so well. We just got to have them. And you were like, no, I don't do gay weddings. I'd be like, all right, that's cool. Fuck you. And then I would go to a different place. But for you to put it up on your website, it's ridiculous.
Or why don't you do this the American way? Take the job and do a fucking piss poor fucking product at the end of it.
Yeah. And then all the gay people, because they all know each other, right? That's again, this is what conservatives believe, right? At their local meeting. Yep. Yeah, the local monthly gay wedding meeting. They'll be like, Jim Bob's website sucks. Don't go there. And they'll be like, all right, bet. Yeah, we won't use it.
Yeah.
I hope people run this. I hope this business dies. I do. I hope it dies. It won't. But I hope
it'll probably flourish because of all the fucking right wing nutbags that'll seek it out now. So
yeah, I need a website for me and my child bride. do you do child bride websites? Absolutely.
There you go. That'd be a good experiment for this website. Be like, hey, like I'm 23 and I'm going to marry my 14-year-old cousin. Like, can you please do
it? Absolutely, sir. I've already made it.
We are God-fearing Christians. I really need this wedding announcement to go out.
Like, don't worry. Half the page is child balloons. The other half is dudes with guns. So like, we got you covered. Don't even worry about it. Apparently, the dogs in the background are fighting each other. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I apologize.
There's Ann Getty's babies all around the background, shit like that. So.
That's fucking creepy as shit.
It's fucking creepy.
There's a bunch of babies and hollowed out pumpkins or some stupid shit that Ann Getty does. Stop it. It's adorable. No, it's weird. It's real weird. Fucking weird. Is she alive? Is she arrested?
I think so. I have no idea, to be honest.
Arrest Ann Getty. Arrest her. Check her computer, man. It's fucking weird. It's probably nothing bad on there. It's just dumb. So also the Supreme Court, really doing a bang up job. They knocked down Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness. This sucks. This is not good.
Should have seen it coming. Once we had to do it by executive order, you had to know this was coming down the pipe. So
yeah. So he says that he's working on a different way of doing it. We'll see what that ends up being. But as of right now, it's dead. But I need people to remember this moment. I do, because when the 2024 race is in full swing, I need people to not say dumb shit like Joe Biden never got that done. I need you to remember that, because I know people will say that and be very ignorant to what just happened, or totally forget, or pretend to forget, or say dumb shit like the Supreme Court doesn't really matter. And then when people call you out, you try to pretend like you never said it, even though you fucking did. And you have a podcast called Bad Faith, and it's not really even ironic anymore because you fucking stink.
I feel like that was oddly specific. And directed at one individual person.
No one in particular, Brad. No one in particular. But you know, it's just, people need to remember that this is not a thing that Joe Biden failed on. This is a thing that was destroyed because people didn't vote in 2016.
Right. And also, don't forget as well, just because, you know, the law of averages is on your side doesn't mean it doesn't wildly swing the other direction sometimes.
Correct.
I don't think anyone would have put money on the fact that Trump was getting 3 Supreme Court picks during his 4 years.
No.
No, absolutely not. Even in 2016.
No, but I wasn't willing to risk one. So how about that?
That's fair.
Yeah, absolutely not.
What would the 6-person Supreme Court have looked like during the Hillary Clinton presidency, I wonder?
You probably would have gotten Ketanji Brown Jackson on there earlier. You probably would have.
You would have gotten any Supreme Court justices with a Republican Senate, eh?
Oh,
remember they were saying that if she was elected, they were just going to hold the seats open for the entire term, which is batshit crazy, but okay.
Can you imagine? Yeah, like
go off Ted Cruz.
Like that's just 4 Supreme Court justices. Yeah? Right. Like that's wild. Just 4 of them? Like don't worry about it. Okay, like feel like we should have a couple of Supreme Court. Like, no, like, we're just gonna leave it open. Just leave it open. All right, fuck it. This is gonna be fucking Sonia Sotomayor just sitting up there by herself. It's just like, sure, wish I had some friends. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. But look, here's the interesting thing: in our lifetime, we will likely see the Supreme Court move back, right? Because these guys are getting old, like quite fast.
They are.
Getting old.
Also, just a unprecedented amount of bad luck for us. You know, like Bush gets 3, Obama in 8 years gets 2, and Trump gets 3. Like how the fuck is that happening?
Right, in 4 years.
Yeah.
But my point is, when it eventually swings back, it's going to feel really fucking wild. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because whoever that Democrat who gets that last person in to flip it to 5-4, maybe even 6-3, who the fuck knows, they're going to go fucking balls to the wall. Like when liberals are like, oh shit, it's happening. Like they're going to have cases lined the fuck up, and all of this shit that you're seeing, all of those things will be overturned, and it will happen so fast. It will feel like like Republicans will lose their minds, because it will feel like we're feeling right now. It's like, slow down. Like, what is happening? The country's changing. But it's not that the country's changing. It's going back to what it was.
Yeah.
Like it is interesting, because all the progress that we've made over the last number of years, or you know, 2 decades at least, has all been largely
five decades. Like you go back to the 70s for a lot.
Yeah, you can go back for Roe v. Wade.
Yeah. Right.
So like, but all of that will go on fucking hyperspeed the second Democrats have control again. Now the question is, this is why Republicans are doing every dumb fuck law they can think of, the independent state theory and all this other shit. Cause once it happens, it's going to be real hard to change the court over again, mm-hmm. because demographics are changing for Republicans, period. There's going to become a time where they're going to have an almost impossible chance of becoming president. So they're not going to have an opportunity to put more people on the court. Good. Because the Supreme Court is, as you can see, unless you're a fucking idiot, really matters. It really matters. It doesn't matter how good the president is. Doesn't matter how good Congress is. If somebody can come up with a bullshit law, take it to the Supreme Court on a hypothetical and knock down laws, it doesn't mean anything. You need people at the top.
And here's another thing I need neoprogs to also understand, like, because what I've also heard about this is they're just like, oh, well, like the whole fucking concept of the Supreme Court is fucked up and corrupt, and we need to change that. Cool. That's not happening.
This is
the hand of cards we were dealt. Maybe if we're lucky one day, we might get to add like two justices to the Supreme Court. Like, if we're lucky, maybe.
Yeah.
But this is the hand that we were dealt. So fucking play the cards you have. Stop wishing to be like, oh, like if only we lived in this liberal utopia and things worked exactly the way we wanted to. They never will. Yeah. Play the fucking cards that you have in your hand.
Well, and that's Brad, you are giving a opinion that I actually don't even think it's an opinion, it's a fact. You're giving a fact that is so fundamental to your age, right? When you get to our age, you go, what, why are you talking about a bunch of pie in the sky bullshit? There's reality, and it is happening right now. You are concentrating on, can you imagine what would happen if we had 9 justices and then we got rid of the Supreme Court altogether? It's not gonna happen. Stop talking about dumb shit like that.
It's the same thing as the Medicare for All discussion. People are like, oh, yeah. Medicare for All needs to happen. I'm like, we don't even have like control on prescription drug prices, and you want fucking socialized healthcare
to just appear in America? Right. Look, I'm not against it. I just don't know how you get from A to Z in one step.
Without the rest of the alphabet.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, talk about the thing that you can change, the things that you can fix now, because those things that you can fix now are what actually affect people. What you're talking about is a bunch of stuff that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And look, they let you
move the ball forward later on. Again, if the court were to flip, I'm sure Republicans, especially if there was a Republican president, would love to talk about expanding the court. I'm sure they'd love to come to the table
100%
to have that discussion.
100%. But it's much better to talk about the things that you can actually fix and change, because then you can actually do them. We don't have to talk about hypotheticals. We can talk about things that are real. Vote, for fuck's sake. Vote. And just hope one of these old bastards dies soon.
And they probably will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, here's the one thing that I do appreciate about the corruption of Republican justices. Take Clarence Thomas on as many hunting trips as you possibly can. History shows that those don't typically go well for Republican justices on the Supreme Court.
Oh my God. Is there a history of that?
I mean, Scalia died on a hunting trip from a heart
attack. Oh, that's right. Oh. By the way, he was also in the Harvard Law Review. A lot of people don't know that. People are finding out every day. Speaking of our boy, God love him. We haven't talked about him this week. Your boy Donald John Trump.
Can we please just refer to him as first ever indicted former president Donald Trump?
I'm okay with that. Yeah. Yes, I'm 100% okay with that. I support it. I think he leaked this tape. I truly do.
No.
I think so. Wait, I think he did, dude.
How can he leak it? This is evidence that the government has.
Oh no, I think that he had a copy of this.
Okay.
I think he absolutely had a copy. I can't imagine. You think the Justice Department leaked it? No way. No way.
That could potentially
compromise the case.
Man, stop speaking logic to me.
Here's my argument for it.
Okay.
What is the dumbest thing someone could do in this case? Leaking this.
You mean besides like blowing up their case on an audio recording?
Yes. I'm saying what's the dumbest thing a person could do? It would be blowing up their own case by having this audio recording come out. And think about who Donald Trump is. Now tell me that doesn't seem like something he would do. Like, I just think he likes to do that thing where it's like when he got indicted. I'm going to get indicted tomorrow. It's going to happen. He's trying to
control the narrative.
Right. He's trying, because he knows the MAGA idiots, when they hear something, they just go, it's not that important. Right. Like, so they downplay it. Like, they get it and they downplay it. And they try and they hope that the media will follow along, which sadly they do. And then they downplay it into it not being relevant. And I think that's what I could totally see. I don't know that he did, but I could totally see him doing that and thinking that that's going to work. It didn't. It really didn't. And I think he thinks that Jack Smith maybe can't listen to the tape that's on.
Well,
CNN?
So you all out there might remember that a couple of weeks ago, when they were presenting, when they presented the indictment and unsealed it, one of the things that they unsealed was this, was a text version of this conversation where Trump is allegedly talking to, a biographer for, I think, Mark Meadows that was writing about him. And he basically was bragging and showing off classified information that he had at Bedminster. And he explicitly says in this audio recording, I could have classified it if I was president, but I'm not, so I can't. And so we saw that in text, and that was like, wow, that's pretty damning. And yet, to hear it, it's somehow so much worse than the audio, than the written version was. And the written version was pretty bad. As Dan Pfeiffer said, this is the one time where the movie was actually better than the book.
That's a great line. That's good. I like that. I don't know what to tell you, Brad. Let's go to the videotape. It's fucking awesome. So we're going to play this. And we're going to watch Donald Trump incriminate himself. Would you like to do the, we play and then you tell me to stop?
No. I want to listen to the whole thing because, like I said, I've heard this at least 10 times already, so I can already discuss it without needing to stop in between.
All right, here we go. It's 2 minutes. It is glorious. By the way, listen to the last line. It's awesome.
These are bad, sick people.
That was your coup, you know. Against you. That's
well, it started they, right at the
like
beginning.
When Millie's talking about, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran. Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look. This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the Defense Department and him.
Wow.
We looked at some. This was him. This wasn't done by me. This was him. Yeah. All sorts of stuff. It's pages long. Look. Wait a minute. Let's see here.
I'm sorry. I have to pause this. He's talking about General Milley, and he's like, this is General Mark Milley. They wanted to attack Iran. This isn't me. See, this is the shit that drives me crazy, because people listening to this who don't understand, like, who are new to government and things like that, they're like, see, General Mark Milley did this. You do know that it's not like Trump writes the thing that says, like, and then we're going to attack Iran, and then this is what happens, and then no, what happens is a president goes, hey, draw up plans to attack Iran, and then General Mark Milley brings a document, perhaps with his name signed on it, that goes, here are the plans. And then he goes, see, it wasn't me. Mark Milley wrote it. I'm like, who or are you
it's
fooling?
It's not out of the realm of possibility for the military to have general strategies on hand.
Yeah, of course they do.
For adversarial countries, just in case shit pops off.
Dude, they have, trust me, I'm 100% sure the United States military has a document on every single country in the world if they are somehow become a hostile power, including our allies. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden England like goes fucking rogue and they're like, we're going to attack the United States. Yeah, guess what? They're like, yeah, we're going to bomb X, Y, and Z. We're going to knock down Big Ben or whatever the fuck is going on over there. And like, yeah, of course. But to pretend like you could possibly have nothing to do with it just because Mark Milley gave it to you, it's bullshit. It's a bullshit line.
Like I said, and again, if you disagree with that, then obviously you disagree with Batman when he had contingency plans for literally every member of the Justice League. It would be stupid not to.
Yes, that's the Tower of Babel storyline. That's right. Excellent. Excellent. All right, let's continue.
Yeah.
I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know. Mm-hmm. Except it is like highly confidential, yeah. Secret. This is secret information. But look at this. You attack, and
Hillary would print that out all the time. You know,
she'd send it, email. No, she'd send it to Anthony Weiner.
Yeah,
the pervert. By the way, isn't that incredible?
Yeah,
I was just saying because we were talking about it, and you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran, and what?
He said the papers.
This was done by the military, given to me.
Given to me.
I think we can probably, right?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to figure out a.
See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, you know, but this is classified.
Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, it's so. Here and I have. And you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
No, I believe
you. It's incredible. Right?
No.
Hey, bring some Cokes in, please.
Bring some Cokes in, please.
That last line just undermines it. He's like, it wasn't me on that tape, and then just like the last line happens, and they're like, fuck.
Yeah, they got me.
It's undeniable. Yeah. I mean, where do you begin with this?
I mean, lying.
So apparently, a couple of days before this interview was taped, Susan Glasser had run a story where Milley talks about the fact that like Trump was a fucking psycho and he wanted to go to war against Iran and stuff like that. So if you're wondering like how did he just happen to have this fucking paper handy, it's probably him seeing that story, getting pissed off, and it's like, I'll show them. They gave me the plans. It was all their plan. It wasn't my plan. I have the paperwork to prove it. Blah 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 blah. So like that's number one. I also like the fact that reporters did reach out to the authors that he was talking to, and they're like, yeah, we can't really talk about it. Why? Because they've probably been subpoenaed to testify.
100%
to authenticate this conversation. I like how like this is Trump like in like rare honesty. And again, you know it's him because like the whole gist of this tape is he's trying to impress these writers. Is this cool? Look at this. Like like isn't this incredible? Like he just like, oh look, and again, like this gets to the crux of why he kept this shit. Just because he wanted it to show off to people, which is hilarious. It's again, as we said before, it's the dumbest reason to get in trouble.
I mean, look, I don't put it past him to sell things to other countries. I really don't. Like, I think that guy is broke, and I think that guy likes to pretend he's rich, and I think that guy just loves money. However, I think that's a secondary reason. I think 100% the primary reason is, check out the size of my dick. Look at all of these things I have. I think you're 100% right. He is a child, and the coolest thing he can think to do when people don't think he's cool anymore is go, look at all of these plans I have. I got the secret documents. And they're just like, yeah, that's cool. Your hubris is going to be the thing that takes you down.
He says at the end, like, you probably didn't believe me. He's like, but look at the proof. He you know what he is? And you Jay, and people listening of a certain age will appreciate this. Mm. He is the embodiment of the kid on the third grade playground who used to tell you that his uncle works at Nintendo.
Yes, 100%. You probably didn't believe me. Can I have some Cokes over here? It's like, that's 100% it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like when one of our listeners, like, it's like when Cam always talks about having a girlfriend. We all know it's a lie, right? Like, we're all aware she's from Canada or whatever, right? Like, we all know that it's a lie, but you, like, you know, you don't call double dribble on Cam, is what I'm saying, right? Like, it's like, you don't, like, it's not fair. So it's just amazing that bragging is the thing that he is, like, that's what he was willing to risk his entire life over. And if the world is truly fair, he will die in prison because he wanted to brag to a couple of women and be like, check out all these secret documents I have. Look how cool I am. Good. That's the way you should fall. Of all the ways, just through your sheer arrogance, you should fall for that reason.
I mean, look, Al Capone getting nailed for tax fraud has had a good run. But I think Trump getting nailed because he wanted to show off classified documents could potentially replace the Al Capone getting nailed for tax fraud.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. Like, it would be wonderful if that's the reason. So yeah, that clip is, I don't think it's helping.
you think? Well, here's the fun part is that this clip wasn't recorded at Mar-a-Lago, it was recorded in Bedminster. The Jack Smith is including it in the Florida documents trial because it shows a pattern of behavior. There's nothing that's stopping this tape from going to, like, fucking, you know, the Eastern District in New York or whatever fucking whoever handles that, and charging him with illegal distribution of classified information.
Yeah, like, this seems to be a potential sort of back pocket thing that Jack Smith is working on, that in case the Florida case, because they've got that same judge they had before who gave Trump a nice reach around. If she decides to do that and, like, delay the case, they could just be like, nah, it's cool, don't worry about it. Bam. Yeah. Here's 45 indictments in New Jersey. So we're good to go.
Here's my question now. Well, so as we're learning about this stuff and as we're seeing more and we're getting kind of like an inkling into what the prosecution's case is going to be here. What is his actual defense going to be?
They're my documents. Like, they're mine. Give me my documents.
That's my question is, like, what is the defense that his lawyer is going to stand up in a courtroom and give as to why he is not guilty of crimes that he is quite obviously guilty of?
Like, you said it. These aren't declassified. I could when I was president, but I can't now. But these are secret documents. That's your entire case. Like, it's your entire case in, like, two lines of dialogue. I don't know. I honestly don't know, right? Because there is a difference between what you put on social media versus what happens in a courtroom. I don't know what their case is. I would suspect they don't have much of one, considering his lawyers are like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm not talking to a judge on this shit. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. Like, maybe it's a sort of blame game thing, like, well, Hillary this or other former presidents that.
But that doesn't fly as a defense for your criminal behavior.
No, I know that. Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
I don't know. Like you can't murder someone and then as your defense be like, well, look at all these other people that have murdered people.
It's happening. I hear it's happening a lot. I don't know. Let me out. Yeah, I don't know what the defense, like what a legitimate defense is. It's his documents isn't a legitimate defense. Like it's right. Not.
So that's what I'm saying though, is that if, man, like I would love to know if his lawyers have floated taking a plea with him. And I want to see his reaction to it.
I mean,
you would be derelict of duty if you were his attorney and be like, hey, we shouldn't at least think about a plea, right? Like you have to, like, for his interest with the amount of evidence that the government has that we've seen as the public, much less the stuff that we haven't seen.
Yeah, but like there was talk of him doing a plea deal, and that in a plea deal, he wanted the government to like pay him. Like it was it was crazy. I'm trying to find, here's a Newsweek article. It was fucking nuts. He was like, I still want to get like some amount of money. They're like, that's not how plea deals work. Like it was fucking weird, dude. Here it is. Trump further predicted that he will not be convicted on federal charges stemming from the documents case. He also stressed that he would not accept a plea deal unless he was presented one, quote, where they pay me some damages.
Oh, that's just him talking.
I know. But what I'm saying is, what does that mean? Like, okay, I take a plea deal. I admit those are your documents. I fucked up. Give me lesser punishment. But by the way, I'll take the plea deal, but you owe me money. What? What the fuck are you talking about? Dude, like that doesn't make any sense. Apparently, there was a couple of articles that came out recently that right before he was indicted, like the day before, he's like, he's asking his lawyers, so can I get my documents back? Yo, you're about to be indicted tomorrow, yo. You're about to be indicted tomorrow. Can I get a couple of Cokes in here and some of my documents back? Like, he's still, I think, and this sounds really mean, but I truly believe this, I think he is suffering from what everyone makes fun of Joe Biden for suffering from, because Joe Biden sometimes misspeaks, and they're like, Joe Biden's brain is dead. I think Donald Trump's brain is legitimately gone.
You think he's senile already?
That or he is playing a hell of a defense. Maybe that's the defense, is our client is fucking crazy and there's nothing we can do. He's senile. Please just put him in a very nice home.
Yes. Like, but also elect him president, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but I'm serious. For someone to say, I'll take a plea deal, but you have to pay me damages. Dude, your brain doesn't work. Come on, man. Like, what am I supposed to believe? That's insanity. It's insane. I'll take money. Can I have my documents back? You're being indicted tomorrow, Donald. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, hey, Brad, you're being indicted for embezzling $1 million from your job. Oh, okay, cool. So can I have my $1 million, or is that not an option?
Will they let me have PlayStation in jail?
Right. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? His brain is gone. It's gone. It left. I don't know. I don't know if Jarrett was his brain or what, but that shit is broken. It don't work no more. So yeah, it's I just, like, when I saw that plea deal story, I was like, that's not how plea deals work. No, plea deal is, I'll do less time, right? That's what that means. I'll do less time, or you let me off for good behavior or some other shit, but I give up the fucking ghost on everyone else. You don't give up the ghost on your
yourself. That's the other problem, though, is that, of course, the federal government, and this might be different because of him, their typical modus operandi when it comes to plea deals is that not only do you have to fully and freely cooperate and confess to what you did that we're charging with, you have to confess to every crime that you've ever done. Like, you have to lay it all out on the table. Because
yeah, you ready for that one? You ready for that one, big boy?
Surprises.
Yeah, he ain't taking no plea deal. He ain't taking no fucking plea deal. He's like, there isn't enough pieces of paper on the planet for me to talk about all the crimes I've done. Like, I'm a crimes guy. I'm hella into crime. Yeah, no, that plea deal shit. I just like, this, dude, am I tasting pennies? Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, stop saying that. Shit makes no sense what you're talking about. All right, next up, Democrats have a document that refutes the GOP's Biden bribery claim. I know that he wears his headscarf because he had cancer, though he is cancer-free now. Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin. I like Raskin a lot, but I can never not see him as when Vince McMahon used to wear a do-rag around. Like, it was, and he used the N-word, and it was hilarious and inappropriate.
He was the ECW world champion when that was happening.
What's up, my nigga? Like, don't do that, Vince. Tell me he did not just.
Oh, yeah, we don't have video this week. Jay is black, everybody. Who might.
Yes, I am, in fact. No, I was only, in fairness to me, I was quoting a white man.
That's true.
I was quoting Vince McMahon, so I'm allowed to say it. So yeah, Republicans are full of shit. Shocking news, right? They know that this bribery case is bullshit, right? This Burisma case, they already know it's bullshit. They're well aware. What they're doing is they're just getting the headlines, right? Because they know that their people do not follow up on shit. They don't. All you got to do is put the headlines out. The news will happily do the work for you. And then they just go, and they just fade away. It doesn't matter. But Jamie Raskin is trying to knock that dumb shit down. He's like, listen, there is actual interview with Burisma's co-founder, Mykola Zolchetsky, who in an interview actually said, quote, we never had contacts with VP Biden during his visits to Ukraine. This was a questionnaire. Mm-hmm. No one from Burisma ever had any contacts with VP Biden or people working for him during Hunter Biden's engagement. In a letter to the committee's chairman, Jamie Raskin wrote that Rudy Giuliani received this evidence during a 2019 impeachment investigation into Donald Trump. Giuliani passed the evidence to associate Lev Parnas. There's that name. And it was turned over to Congress after the FBI seized Parnas's phone upon his arrest for running an illegal campaign donation operation, which ironically included foreign money payments from a Russian donor to U.S. politicians. At the time, the documents had not been made public. So, yeah, them nailing Lev Parnas actually gave them this document that helps exonerate Joe Biden, which is wonderful. So whenever you hear this Burisma shit, just know that it is bullshit and it's just trying to grab a headline. That's all it is.
Yep. And you're going to hear it more and more, especially as Trump gets in deeper and deeper water, especially if he remains the Republican front runner.
Absolutely. In the
race there. I just want to note that Jay, as usual, not protecting Hunter Biden by not talking about his plea deal.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about it.
That's right. Hunter Biden pleaded guilty to.
Yes, he did.
To basically lying on his taxes and illegally buying a firearm, which he was given probation, which is apparently the most corrupt thing that's ever happened in the history of the federal government, according to Republicans.
Agreed.
As Ted Cruz said, there are two schools of justice, and he's only getting off because his name is Hunter Biden, to which I say, Ted Cruz, you are half right. He's getting off because his name is Hunter Biden, not because his name is Hunter Biden, but because he is a affluent white man. That's why he's preferential treatment.
I Both. I would say yeah. both, right? I mean, the name comes with the ability to be the affluent white man, right? If Hunter Biden was like a black kid from Brooklyn and had no ties and lied about taxes, yeah, they would throw him in jail 100%. Like, yeah. who was making the argument that that's not true? I love how Republicans are now like, wait a minute, there's two sides of the justice system. Really? No shit. Welcome aboard. But yeah, is it fair? No, it's not fair. Is it surprising? No, it's not surprising. Do I wish Hunter Biden got thrown in jail? I don't give a fuck. Does this prove anything about the nonsense you say about Hunter Biden? No, no. This guy likes to do drugs and fuck hookers. That's really the extent of it.
Yeah.
And like occasionally
buy
a gun.
Which we knew. Like, that's not new information to us.
And apparently has a huge dick, which Republicans just can't stop sharing pictures of on the internet. Look at this hog. Like, all right, we fucking got it. I mean,
like I said, we jest and you know, I agree with you. You're probably right that if it was, you know, some black kid from an inner city that, you know, that he would have not gotten the same treatment. But at the same time, like, according to the Justice Department, like, yeah, like someone without a criminal record who would be, you know, would be charged with this probably would get probation. Like it's not like it's not
you would hope so.
That's likely to be repeated again. So that's the whole point of it.
Right. It's just one of those stories. It's a non-story. Actually, the biggest non-story this week was a whole report that Joe Biden sleeps with a CPAP machine. I was like, okay.
I didn't even see that story. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the serious journalists at the White House were wondering why he had indentations on the side of his face. Oh, it was like,
Jesus fucking Christ.
It was like, kidding me? Yeah, it's from
oh
my
no,
CPAP
Joe
machine.
Biden's one of the millions of Americans who've been diagnosed with sleep apnea. Oh no.
Right. He's 1,000 years old.
Is he fit to be president when he has to wear a CPAP machine?
Like I love the idea of some like Republicans like I can't believe he's using a CPAP machine. Like meanwhile, like they lay down every night and put one on.
Right.
Like, dude, you sound like Darth Vader. It's fine.
If anything, it makes him more relatable to the average American.
He's probably lying. He probably doesn't even need one. He just wants to be just like you. Like, it's like, yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah, I too use a CPAP machine like you.
That's what he was probably saying when he told the corn pop story. Like, people probably just misheard him. He probably said CPAP and
it wasn't. CPAP was a bad dude.
Right. Oh my God.
Corn pop is a fucking hilarious story. Holy shit. All right. Let's move on. Last story. Republicans are trying to take credit for shit they didn't do. How very white of you. So Republicans decided, hey man, we're going to vote against the infrastructure bill, but at the same time, when it passes and our states, our taker states, start getting all this free money for infrastructure and, you know, broadband, internet and all this other stuff. Yeah, it's time to start taking credit. That's what they're doing. Anti-military dickbag Tommy Tuberville. He ran right out there and said, hey, man, broadband is vital to the success of our royal communities, and he is super excited to have this money going to Alabama to help everybody get broadband and internet, except for he voted against it.
And has been shitting all over the bill up until this point, essentially.
Yep.
I mean, I think Joe Biden had the best, or at least his communications team had the best mic drop moment on this, because they took that quote, that tweet that Tommy Tuberville put out, and they quote treated him with just, mm-hmm. See you at the groundbreaking.
Yeah, motherfucker. You're welcome. The infrastructure bill got like $42 billion out to the states. And like, yeah, it was $42 billion. And like these guys, what it shows is like they're obviously their lack of honesty, right? Shocking news. We all know that. But it also shows how little they believe in their own constituents, right? To read up on the stuff, to realize their voting record and stuff like that. They play them like a fiddle because they know that they don't research anything.
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Tuberville got broadband here. Hey, no, he didn't. He did not at all.
Now, it's interesting. This kind of leads into one of the other big stories this week, and that is that the White House is kind of pivoting their messaging a little bit, which I think is really smart. So basically, they are taking this term, Bidenomics, Republicans have used derisively for the last year and a half or so to talk about like Joe Biden's economic policies and how they're failed and this side of the other thing. And they're basically Biden's taken the power back, and he's basically redefining what the term means and actually using it as a positive, which, by the way, I think is incredibly smart. Apparently he's kind of doing the same shit with concerns about his age, like when he's going out and giving speeches now, like he's coming up with more and more ridiculous numbers to like poke fun at his age. He's like, yeah, he's like, everyone, they say I'm like, oh, they can't run, I'm 162 years old or something.
There you go. See, this is, look, man, I've long said you have to take, like, this is just political judo. The best of the best politicians do this. You don't run from it. You take it, you embrace it, and you throw it right back in their face. Like, look, you want to see political judo in real time, the best I've seen in a long time. Gavin Newsom crushed that Sean Hannity interview. He crushed it. Sean Hannity was trying to like speak fast over. He's like, no. Let's stay on topic. Let's stay where you are. You said X. Let's examine it. And he brought the fucking heat on Sean Hannity. And he was like, I may have made a grave mistake. Like, yeah, dude, you fucked up.
Like I said, I watched a lot of that interview, and I've never felt more confident about my rightness when I predicted a couple of years ago that that dude's the next man up.
Oh, 100%, dude. Yeah. 2028 is his fucking year. It is his year. Gavin is coming. He looks like a TV president, and he's smart, and he's a bit of a dick. And I like that. He's a bit of a dick, because that is the thing. Barack Obama was incredibly smart, wasn't mean enough. He was like, you got to be just slightly mean enough that where when someone punches at you, you don't go, okay, it's cool. No, you got to be like, oh, that was a, is that all you got? And then you fire right the fuck back at them. And that's what Newsom did in that interview. He let Sean Hannity throw all that shit right out there, and then he picked it apart piece by fucking piece.
Well, not only brilliant. That, but he knew going into the interview exactly the questions that Sean, the topics that Sean Hannity was going to approach, yep. and already had the rebuttals queued up.
Oh, that was clear. That was clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Newsom is up in 2028. You better get used to that face, because he is fucking coming. I hope he keeps that same fire too, man, because that is the way to play it. Like, it's just mean enough. It's sharp enough. It's what liberals want to see. Like, dude, defend the fucking policies that we have. Stop letting these assholes get away with it. Stop playing into their MO, which is always like, well, we're really nice, so we're not going to call you out. Nah, fuck that. Fuck that. We're right. You're wrong. Suck my dick. Like, that's kind of his attitude.
It's like it's an interesting point. Here's why you're a fucking idiot, Sean Hannity.
Right, exactly. That's what I want. I've been waiting on it, man. I've been waiting on it. He's got the charisma that Obama has. He's got the intelligence. He's got that like just slightly acerbic kind of way about him that I think people are going to go, this guy's a dick, but he's a dick for us. And I like that, right? Like, that's all you need. That's what you need.
Not since LBJ will there be a more dickish Democrat. That's what
look, but I need it. I need it. I need it. And by getting back to Biden, him embracing that and just being like, yeah, you know what? Nah, fuck that. Like, I'm gonna say that shit. Oh, Bidenomics, it's bullshit. But well, let's look at the numbers, motherfucker. Like, that's how you hit them. That's how you hit them. Because when somebody watches that clip of Gavin Newsom, or they watch a clip of Joe Biden going, nah, fuck that, let me take it to you, people go, I like that. People like strength, right? Like, long have people said, like, the reason Republicans win a lot is because they push on strength. They don't have anything behind it, right? Oh, we're going to arrest everybody, and we're going to fucking fight the enemy or whatever. They just boast strength. But when you really have strength on your side, and you have facts on your side, that's a good combination. And Democrats need to pick up both. It's not enough to be right. You also got to push that shit and go, fuck you, I know I'm right, and here's how I know I'm right. That's what you got to do. So good. I'm glad Joe Biden's doing that. More of this. That CPAP machine is working, motherfucker. Here he comes. Fucked up. He was slow. He was, you know, he was tired. He was slow on the giddy up when he didn't have a CPAP. Now you fucked up. Modern medicine. See what happens? Yeah, you shouldn't have asked about those straps. You didn't want to know the answer. Get out of here. So, yeah, look, an interesting week to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Trump apparently keeps talking about being indicted again. So you never know. That indictment in New Jersey might be popping up this week. I hope so. So any closing stories, Brad?
Yeah. Can I get a couple Cokes in here, please?
Yeah, fair enough. Come on, guys. A couple of diets, you know, because I don't want to get fat. Okay, Donald. Get the fuck out of here. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.